This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year,
You know,
but that was before the engagement.
Well, yes,
and again, he's older, right? Like he's the oldest he's ever been.
Yeah,
now, so, we've written him off in regular seasons before too.
Yeah, I mean, and, well,
I feel he stepped up in the playoffs. That's now Daniel Jones.
You know,
well, I mean, that's what I was going to say in terms of the there's what that team is doing. They are the first team in the Super Bowl era to have not punted in their first two games.
Yep. Early respect, Burger, to Daniel Jones. Wow.
Daniel Jones,
the Indianapolis Colts
have not punted through two games of the NFL season. It's never happened.
We wrote him off.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, we did.
I thought was a moron, just an absolutely abysmal quarterback who would never be successful anyway.
I mean, he got the second contract with the Giants. I will say that.
But that's the Giants. That's a horrible organization.
They won a game in the playoffs that
they
year.
They did win a game.
Yeah,
It happened. And you can't take that from
him. Now, we saw what happened after, to your point.
Yeah.
Went to Hick.
Yeah. But they scored on their first 10 possessions of the season. I mean, that's pretty amazing. 10 possessions. They scored every single time. They have not punted. Now, they did have two failed fourth down attempts against the Broncos.
Right.
So, I mean.
And the streak of scoring on all of their drives was stopped in that one.
Right. Because
they stretched it to 10, to your point.
But no team in NFL history has not punted.
It's kind of crazy.
Which, again, it's just like we have talked about Shane Steichen before as a guy, who can develop quarterbacks. I mean, he was there with Philly when they went to the first Super Bowl and lost. So it definitely seems like sometimes, you get Daniel Jones out of a bad organization there in New York and you get him into a little bit better one with a little bit better coaching and development, and this is what can happen. And they're 2-0. I mean, I kind of can't believe it either. It feels just diabolically bad for Anthony Richardson. Like, dude, you couldn't make something of this? Like, with Shane Steichen and everything, like, you got Daniel Jones out here looking like an MVP candidate, and you couldn't hack it? So it looks bad for him. But whether it's a mirage or not, I mean, it definitely seems like Daniel Jones has found a spot in this league.
23 of 34 for 316, one TD pass, and he ran for one. It's his first 300-yard game since September 17, 2023.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
for
him.
I mean, you were saying earlier you think he's having a Geno Smith renaissance here.
He's trying to.
Yeah.
Because we did write him off.
Yeah.
And Daniel didn't write back. We'll see if he can make it an all-the-way sort of Geno Smith resurgence to good quarterback level.
Man.
Because they still should have lost the game.
Yeah.
The leverage penalty moved it closer.
Right.
And he made it.
Right. Yep.
Right? He was short on the 60-yarder.
He was, yeah.
So Denver opened that up.
That's right. That's right. I mean, those are the big takeaways for me in week one is that, you know, you really can never write off the Chiefs, but I'm close. I'm closer than I've ever been, at least until they get their weapons.
Completely understandable. Get it.
Like, I think they're going to lose. Like, they're going to win against the Giants most likely. I think they're going to lose the Ravens, because, you know, it's the regular season. Although the Chiefs don't the Chiefs have their number?
It feels like it.
I feel like the Ravens never beat the Chiefs.
But again, you're still getting them at a time where they're
pretty receiver
wise.
Yeah.
They're banged up.
I mean, I do think Worthy will be back for that one.
Oh, will he?
I think so. I think that's the understanding right now.
Cool.
So I don't know how much that changes your. Yeah, I think it does
a little bit. Does.
I mean, because he takes the top off. But I don't know, man. I'm not really in a good place with them right now, to be honest. Like I said, the Rams. I thought what they did in the second half against the Titans. I know it was the Titans, and they're lowly, and they are. Mm-hmm. That coach stinks.
Well, we knew that.
Get him out.
So they might have the right quarterback, but we know they don't have the right coach.
Callahan, get him out, man. You're just wasting time. I mean, honestly. Wait. We've already got some firings in college football, man. It's time for Callahan to go because it's not a well-coached team, man. It's just not a disciplined football team. They commit penalties.
And you can't keep your new quarterback, your number one pick investment, under a bad head coach for too long.
No, 100%. You ruin him. Yeah. You know? Happens all the time, man. Yep. And so I do think they will absolutely you know, I was talking to somebody, by the way, about the new Nashville stadium that they're building.
Yep.
$2 billion.
I'm not going to get into any names, but he bought the license.
The right? PSL for the rights to buy the tickets.
Now, I believe this is like lifetime, right? This is lifetime. You get the rights for life until you decide, you know, that you don't want them or whatever the case may be. But just the license, not even the seat, but just the license.
Before ticket buy,
$280,000.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's forever. I mean, that's forever. So, like any event that goes there, which they will have, they'll get a Super Bowl. They'll have Final Fours.
Yeah.
They'll have all those things. But, you know, if you want to buy them and have them, you got to up front before you even, you know, we're talking about ticket price and things like that, $280,000. Now, I think he'll end up making money on that because he's not going to go to the – he says he's going to sell the Super Bowl tickets. You know, he'll sell those.
Yeah.
He'll sell the Final Four tickets. He won't use those. And I just think they're going to get a ton of stuff. They're going to get a ton.
Oh, they will.
You know, I mean, any Taylor Swift concerts that she does there, he can sell. I think he'll make money. It's just going to take him a while. But that's what it costs. If you want to get in on the ground floor of that new Nashville stadium, you know, you want to really have the seats. Now, not everybody's moving like that, right? Like most people are just buying Titan season tickets or whatever.
Yeah, you got to have a quarter million sitting around for, and that's just one seat.
But I think that's a good investment overall. But most people can't make that kind of investment. But that's the kind of money you're talking about, man. So, you know, you got an investment in Cam Ward, you got to get a new coach, man. I don't know who it is. I don't know, like, you know, where you'd go, but it ain't Callahan. There's no question about that. We do have some firings in college football. We'll talk about, you know, Power Four jobs. I mean, they ain't wasting no time. So we'll get into that and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason John, Audio China FM, ESPN. All right, we've got some firings in the world of college football. Started with Deshaun Foster, who has started his season at UCLA 0-3. I believe he lost most recently to New Mexico this weekend. They lost to UNLV, they lost to Utah, and they most recently lost to Mexico, 35-10. Yikes. Yikes. Now, you know, I remember Deshaun Foster from the Carolina days. I didn't want bad things for Deshaun Foster. But if you thought that thing was going to be anything other than a disaster, you didn't see the press conference. I don't even know what that was.
Man, it's all wince. It was
tough. Yeah. Now, you know, there have been bad press conferences before, right? Like, but not that bad.
Adam Gase with the Jets was bad.
Yeah.
Remember with the eyes?
Yes. Yes. I mean, even Fuentes here was not great.
Nope.
You know, people were, you know, it wasn't like he forgot how to speak, but, you know, Deshaun Foster forgot how to speak.
Any Tom Bowen press conference.
Yeah, those were fantastic.
Tubby's was extraordinarily bad, though, at FedEx Forum.
What was that Bowen mumbled into the mic when it was?
Good God.
He hated public, at least public speaking.
They
here.
They caught him saying that.
No, yeah, it was somebody messed with the mic.
Yeah,
they had
what happened was he had a notebook thing that he brought up and it hit the mic.
Oh, okay.
And it made like a big, like, you know, And
so was he disappointed like, himself there?
I thought it was somebody,
I misremembered.
And
that
he's like, oh, God. I'm just trying to make
he
this
was an intense man.
He's super intense.
I mean, that
he saved Memphis football though.
They did.
It really was
tank basketball for a little bit though.
It was, again, nobody wants to take credit for the Tubby hire.
No.
You know.
Ooh, I forgot about what he did to basketball.
Yeah that's Could the I? Problem.
Good God. I'm watching it right now.
I think we've played it before and gotten a good laugh.
Find it. We get a good.
No, hold on. I'm about to DM it to you, Brad.
We get a good chuckle every time.
I'm to the 92.9 account because you know honestly that is exactly what anybody watching that Deshaun Foster press conference was thinking.
Yeah.
Because he comes into Big Ten Media Days last year and he's like, "Hey, sure, you know, you guys don't know that much about UCLA."
Sorry.
You could just hear the mic, you know?
Good God.
Hearing a man thought.
It's tough.
Hearing a man's thoughts.
That's right.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, Deshaun Foster was like, I'm sure you guys, you know, don't know that much about UCLA. We're in L.A. It's us and USC. Mm. And then there's, like, this awkward silence.
Yeah,
and then he says, I'm just really excited. You know, and it's like, bro, what is going on with you, man? Like, you can't. He played there. Like, you don't have more to say than that. I mean, again, that your ability to communicate publicly does not necessarily mean anything for your ability to coach football. But obviously, it did in this case. And he is now out after, you know, I don't know, 15 games at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like another thing on his mark. He chose Nico Iamaleava over Aguilar. You know, he had Aguilar, but he took Nico Iamaleava.
Yep.
And well, that was a mistake. I mean, that was a mistake, man. I mean,
it was.
I mean, Joey Aguilar had more touchdowns against Georgia this weekend than Nico has all season.
Oh, he did Aguilar a favor.
No doubt, man. Got him some more money probably in the SEC.
And he came from UCLA, did he not?
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. They switched.
Deshaun Foster chose Nico.
Damn, bro.
So, I mean,
you messed that up.
He's shown poor judgment.
Yeah, he's made errors at every turn.
Yeah.
This was always going to happen.
You going to get Silverfield in there?
So, I don't think Silverfield will be a candidate, would be my guess. But maybe I'll be surprised. So, that's one firing, Deshaun Foster at UCLA. But also, Brent Pry, Virginia Tech, has been fired after he started 0-3. He got ish canned by Old Dominion.
Oof.
This seems to happen at Virginia Tech every like 4 years. They play Old Dominion, they lose, the coach gets fired. I think Justin lost to Old Dominion, and I don't know if he got fired immediately after, but. I mean, it's just one of those things. When you lose to Old Dominion at Virginia Tech, it's usually not long after that you know. I didn't realize this. Brent Pry was at Memphis. He was a defensive line coach at the University of Memphis back in like 2007-2008.
Okay.
You know, they had one of the better defensive lines in Conference USA, but he has been a terrible head coach at Virginia Tech. I mean, he's just been really, really bad. And it hasn't really gotten better. I mean, I think that's the other thing. It's like every year, it's like he was 3-8 to start, then he was 7-6, then he was 6-7, now he's 0-3. I mean, Virginia Tech's a big-time job, man. It's supposed to be – and honestly, I think it should make people appreciate what Fuente did there. I mean, Fuente was never this bad. He wasn't what people wanted because his personality was kind of different. You know, he was not the rah-rah kind of guy.
Recruiting wasn't great.
But I mean, he was 10-4, 9-4, 6-7, 8-5, you know, 5-6, 5-5. Like, was it great? No. Was it as bad as Brent Pry? It was definitely not as bad as Brent Pry. So that's a big time job. I don't know who you know would be in the mix for it. You know, you got to believe you know all those guys we talk about, right? Like Summerall, Golish,
yeah,
right. I mean, those would be the. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's any regional ties that are better than that. Shane Beamer is mentioned, but I guess that would be the legacy, right? I mean, would you take that job if you're Shane Beamer? Follow your dad?
Probably.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, South Carolina did get mollywhopped by Vandy this weekend.
I just say you get out of the SEC.
That's true. That's very true.
And the pressure cooker it is. And boy, that South Carolina team is. They were the other team dropped out of the poll, I believe.
I will say, according to ESPN, who is this? Is it Pete Thamel? It's Eli Letterman, Max Olson, and Adam Rittenberg. They have five candidates to watch for Virginia Tech. And one of them, yes, is Ryan Silverfield. This is what they say. He's quietly doing exceptional work at a program he has shaped into his own, and he could apply the same approach at Virginia Tech. Silverfield was 24-5 since the start of the 2023 season and has held his own against some of the other top coaches from the American and Tulane's John Summerall and South Florida's Alex Golish. He has been on the Memphis staff since 2016, but also he'd bring some NFL experience to Virginia Tech. While some might not get past the idea of hiring another Memphis coach, Silverfield deserves a close look.
I would bet. John, selling him after you did it with Fuente is tough sell.
I think there's no chance. I think there's no chance it happens. You know, and I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve a look. I'm just saying that I don't think Virginia Tech can go down that road again. Like, they just can't. First of all, Beamer is just easy. Like, he's a good coach. He's the son of the greatest coach that ever coached there.
My guess is you don't want it, yeah.
Right. You know, because, you know, I don't know what Lenore's status is, and he got hurt anyway, so I don't even know. That seems easy. That's just like, hey, you make one call, you want to tell you, okay, go, bye, see you later, see you. A press conference tomorrow, you know. So I don't think that one will be super dramatic, but also Bob Chesney is mentioned from James Madison, but that will not happen either. So it's a good job. I mean, you could get Summerall, you could get Golish, you could get Beamer, you know. Silverfield, I think it's gonna hurt him that he's a Memphis coach.
That one's out of his hands. I mean, that's on
exactly. I mean, now if Silverfield like doesn't lose a game this year, I mean, I think
make the playoff,
right? I mean, absolutely. That's different. But if he just kind of has the year that we think he'll have, which is like, you know, 9-3-ish.
Well, I don't think a win over Tulane last year keeps him above a guy like a Summerall or a Golish, who this year has two ranked wins.
Exactly.
But those guys too could be waiting to see what happens with Florida.
Yes.
Obviously.
I mean, that's another one. That's true.
He should be next. Napier should be next. Eventually will be. I mean, Lagway's given up. He threw five picks.
Yeah.
He's not even listening to the man anymore.
No doubt.
So that's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Agreed.
And so some of these guys you'll lose, maybe perhaps to the Florida opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now, ESPN does say that Beamer loves South Carolina and sees it as more of a destination than most coaches do.
You're going to get beat up in the SEC most years.
No doubt.
When you're South Carolina. I would think you get a Lenoris, you got a chance. Like you said, he's hurt.
Now, I would say, if you're considering the Virginia Tech job, I think you almost have to price in that it will be a member of the Big Ten soonish, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's just kind of the next expectation in the next round.
Sure.
So, do you think the Big Ten's easier than the SEC? That's what you kind of have to.
Well, the top is right there with the SEC, obviously, but on the way down,
right, the middle, yeah.
What I can be in there?
No, you're right.
In that middle on down,
Ohio
I can
State,
settle
Oregon.
In.
You know, Michigan, we'll see.
I'm at a legacy spot where I'm hoping I got a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Essentially.
Yep.
So, I'd feel better about that, to be honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, Golish is going to have his pick, right? He's going to if it's Florida, if it's
I feel like
know, it. Virginia Tech, if he doesn't take it, if Beamer takes.
Don't forget, don't forget Summerall, because
yeah,
he's got,
yeah.
What, is it two Power 4 wins? He's got a chance against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he will be in the mix as well. He's already thought of as that coming into the season.
Right.
And whereas Golish has sort of joined him.
Well, I wonder if Silverfield would get a look at South Carolina if Beamer took Virginia Tech. You know, like, I'm just saying, would he, you know.
Maybe. SEC?
Well, yeah, depends on the year he's. But you could just say he's beaten SEC teams, right?
Sure, I mean, you could. Sure, you could.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I'm saying like you could sell that, you know, and he's familiar with the Memphis region, you know.
Dude,
I don't think South Carolina has some great job.
Win a conference championship, his chances to get one of these goes way up.
Oh, I think that's exactly right.
I mean, that's all he's missing.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Without it on your resume, it's tough.
That's what he's missing, though, and that's why I don't think he'll be priority for any of these folks
mm-hmm.
yet. Again, give it to him this year.
Yeah.
Make the college football playoff. Make the noise.
Right.
He's got a chance to be that guy.
Right.
I don't think he's there yet.
No, I agree.
There are guys above him. Golish has moved in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, and Summerall was already there, even though he's got the head-to-head last year with Summerall.
Yeah. There's a lot of jobs that could come open, though. And I just feel like this will be a year where there's a big ripple effect. You know, because what's Florida going to do? What's Virginia Tech going to do? Is South Carolina going to lose
South
its
Carolina
coach?
Open. Right.
You know, the Vandy coach, like, I feel like he's going to – like, it's time for him to make a jump. I mean, why isn't he on these lists? Clark Lee, he just beat the hell out of South Carolina this weekend.
Jump to where, though? You're in the SEC. Where's
he
jumping?
Yeah, but I mean, you're in Vandy, though. Like,
I get it, but he's in the SEC. Like,
Virginia Tech. Like, why wouldn't Virginia Tech be interested in him?
Well, I just thought you identified your guys. But would they be interested? Sure.
I mean, I would have more interest in him right now, all due respect, than Silverfield.
How much of that is the QB they got? I mean, I haven't watched Vanderbilt enough, so I'm saying that with some
recusing myself.
I've not watched Vanderbilt football.
It's a big part of it, you know. But I mean,
Diego's
it's
beast.
Not like Vandy was like in some great situation before he took over, you know. Oh, remember Barton Simmons?
Yeah.
He's on the staff there.
I think I remember you telling me he was going, leaving the recruiting analyst to go to coaching.
Yeah. So he's on staff there.
Yeah, former Vandy guy, is that why?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't believe he was, but I know he lived in
Nashville. Guy,
so that's what it was. And they just, you know, some of these staffs get creative. But anyway, Silverfield's name was on the list for Virginia Tech, so we shall see if they you know decide to go that route again. But between Pry having worked at Memphis, Fuente having worked at Memphis, I think they are saying we are not hiring anybody with ties to Memphis anymore, bro. Like, it's been a disaster. Again, I don't think Fuente was a disaster. They think he was a disaster. I think following Frank Beamer has to probably be one of the toughest things you can do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Brent Pry had it easy. You know, all he had to do was kind of like be better than Fuente.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, it was like 5-5, and he couldn't do it. He could not do it. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. I love coaching Carousel. I love the fact that we ain't wasting no time, man. I mean, week 3 of college football, we got 2 Power 4 coaches gone.
Well, Florida should take a page from there.
Are they waiting on? I don't understand that. There must be like some language in there where his buyout goes, you know, lower if you wait till December or something. I don't know. Otherwise, like, I mean, what game are they going to win this year? Their schedule's brutal.
It only gets worse for them.
Yeah, I mean, Lagway has not improved.
5 picks, bro, and they showed him trying to talk to Lagway. Lagway is not listening. It's done.
Five picks is absolutely diabolical. I mean, you play Florida on the 20th this weekend. You Miami. You play Texas 2 weeks after that. Then you go to Texas A&M. You know, Mississippi State at home. Bro, Mississippi State different. They're moving different this year.
You lost to Group of Five South Florida.
That's right. At home.
At home.
Then you get Georgia. You go to Kentucky. Maybe you beat Kentucky. Maybe. I mean, I only see 2 wins.
Which is why they should go ahead and do it. I don't think his buyout's somewhere where they can't, you know. I think they can do it now.
I mean, I think Florida is going to be a 3-win team on the year. They're going to beat Mississippi State at home because they have to. If they don't, it's over. October 19th, he will be fired, right? Period, point blank. But I think they win on October 18th. I think they got a chance to win at Kentucky on November the 8th. That would leave you at 3-9. I mean, because they're not beating Tennessee, they're not beating Ole Miss at Ole Miss, they're not beating Florida State, they're not beating Georgia, they're not beating A&M at A&M, they're not beating Texas, and they're not winning in Miami this weekend. I mean, this team stinks. I mean, they've scored a combined 26 points in the last 2 games. So, yeah, man, this is ugly. Florida football just kind of wandering around, man. What happened? They lost Urban and they ain't done nothing. They try Muschamp, L, Mullen, L, this clown, L. Why can't they hire a good coach down there? I mean, the AD's done.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go. He can't hire the next coach. So that's a regime change down there. But I always thought Florida should always be a good, like, it should always be a top 15 program. Like, I don't understand, you know, why they have let it fall so far. But they have.
The Golish will be happy to show you words.
So you're going Golish no matter what.
I'm very impressed.
Even after the beatdown this weekend.
It's more about Miami.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What he has done is still on record. The win over Boise State and over Florida were good wins.
Yeah.
Florida was still on the road, John.
Yeah. Call Lane. See if Lane will do it. If not, you know, you got to decide you want to bring Urban back or try something else.
He's not fit to lead young men.
He probably is not. Or Summerall, you know. See what, you know, so, you know, I mean, I don't think that would be a bad one. But anyway, yeah, tough times. Tough times ahead for Florida football. And Britt Pry and Deshaun Foster are out.
All right, we won't dive too far back into the 28-7 win that Memphis had for Troy, but Ryan Summerfield is 3-0 against the spread this year. He's 3-0 on the field. Tigers have done what they're supposed to do, having knocked off this Troy team. Remember, two of the first three were on the road, so there was never any guarantee you were going to come through 3-0. But you are here ahead of a big game and a big opportunity against Arkansas on Saturday. More on that in just a second. We talked about it defensively. Tigers were impressive, only gave up 112 yards, and keep in mind, 73 of those came in garbage time in the fourth quarter. Offense, after, you know, 300 yards in the first half and was really rolling, bogged down a little bit in the third quarter, finishes with 28 points, but was good enough. Again, it was really just about getting through, getting off the road, and getting back home to a game that we found out Saturday will be televised on ABC at 11 a.m. against Arkansas, which, yes, came up short against Ole Miss. Still a big opportunity for Memphis. It's the first appearance on ABC for Memphis since October 17, 2020, when they beat UCF 50-49. It's also the first ABC telecast from an American Athletic Conference team since, or at least from an American Athletic Conference campus since 2023, when Tulane hosted one on ABC. This is from Jarvis. How about this one? On how you feeling about this game?
Mm-hmm.
Tigers 4-0 on ABC, 11 a.m. games versus ranked teams.
Yeah, I feel like UCLA was.
I think UCLA is one of those.
Yeah.
I don't have the list, but that does sound important. I mean, would certainly bode well for the Tigers.
I think Ole Miss was on ABC.
11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the key here. 11 a.m. ABC windows, 4-0, according to Jarvis Greer. Now, we've talked about it. Taylen Green's been absolutely phenomenal. It's mm-hmm. not the same guy that you faced 2 years ago and got benched mm-hmm. for Boise State.
Yeah, it was a very weird one.
You know who it was that benched him? I think it was Avalos.
It was Avalos.
Who ended up going
yes.
on and getting fired.
Yep.
Taylen Green has been nothing short of phenomenal for this Arkansas offense this season, and he was again in that Ole Miss game. We've talked about it. 22 of 35 for 305 and a touchdown. He also rushed for a team-leading 115 and a touchdown on 14 carries. So he does it all. He's sort of Brennan Lewis on steroids just in terms of, you know, the numbers that he's put up, particularly from a passing standpoint. And so stopping him for Memphis defense has been opportune in terms of getting after guys, tackle for losses, turnovers. They've continued to do that under Jordan Hankins. But this will be, you know, we talked about leveling up each week. Completely different level, particularly against this Arkansas offense. One of the best, it appears, in the SEC. It's that Arkansas defense that you wonder, can you poke holes in?
Mm-hmm.
Can you have long, sustained drives in? The kind of drives that keep Taylen Green off the field. Can you do that? And particularly if you don't have Greg DeRozier. So getting an update on him, Greg DeRozier, you're one of your star running backs, two-star running backs, you know, been out since that first game, was listed as day-to-day initially, have not seen him. Be great to get a status update there because that Memphis run game is going to be so necessary mm-hmm. against this Arkansas defense. An Arkansas defense that, by the way, did hold Ole Miss to 3.3 yards per rush. It was on 38 carries. That's an SEC squad that did try to run the ball, didn't do it very effectively against Arkansas. So it's a tall order, but Tigers have shown well here in this spot on ABC, 11 a.m., Simmons Bank. Doesn't get much better than this just
no,
in terms of opportunity. Would be a little better if Arkansas beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But, hey, was very happy to see because, John, you and I both thought Memphis and Arkansas both mm-hmm. would have to be undefeated to get this ABC window.
That's very right.
Thought it might get knocked back down.
Yep.
Nice to see ABC pick up this game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that was a pleasant surprise. There is no doubt about that.
Packed house, of course.
Yeah, I think it'll be a sellout for what it is. I mean, it won't take much. I mean, it's only 30,000, right?
Yeah, so, a little over 30,
yeah,
somewhere around there.
It'll be a sellout. It'll be packed for sure. Yeah, I mean, I my hopes for Memphis are just go out there and have a good time, you know, go out there and have fun. You know, it's not really, I don't know if you can really expect Memphis to win this game. I mean,
I just looked, it's still 7.5 or at least over at FanDuel, Arkansas.
That's what I was looking at. Again, can Memphis do it? Sure. Anything can happen, but Arkansas's offense, I think, with Taylen Green is just going to be a little too much. And I don't think we've seen enough from Memphis's offense to think they'll be able to go stride for stride with him.
Especially if they don't have DeRozier.
Exactly. And he's continued to call him day to day. I mean, he's been day to day for 21 days. So at some point, it's not really day to day. It's more like, you know, week to week or month to month or, you know. I mean, technically, we're all day to day.
Jordan Hankins could really impress us.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, he's done it before.
If, you know, you somehow come out and you slow down what has been a train
mm-hmm.
in terms of the Arkansas offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there's your chance to win the game feels to me it's like on that side. You need Taylen Green to make mistakes. Can you force those mistakes? That's where your chance to win the game is, because ultimately I think it comes down to what John said first hour. It's going to be about keeping up with Arkansas in this game. Can you do that with this offense? You know, one that, yes, has been effective, but not super explosive.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, going to need that defense. And it's creating chaos has sort of been Hankins' M.O. Going to need that defense to do it. And, you know, again, I don't think Arkansas didn't turn the ball over, did mm-hmm. they? I don't think they turned the ball over.
I don't think so. I don't believe they did. I mean, that was just a good old-fashioned shootout right there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylen Green's like a better version of Brendan Lewis, right? Like, he's, you know, and that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, neither team had a turnover in that Arkansas-Ole Miss game. They played clean. Arkansas played clean offensively.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you're
on the road.
I think you're probably safe to just bet the over and just enjoy your winnings. I mean, I don't feel like this is going to – there's no way this is a 21-7 type of game. Like, it'll be 34.
How much red's going to be in there an 11 a.m. game?
I mean, I think there's some excitement. I think there's, you know –
after the Ole Miss loss.
I would say, you know, if there's 30,000, I think you'll have 5,000 Arkansas. That would be my guess. Pretty just good number.
Make that drive over that morning?
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, there's a lot of Arkansas fans that, you know, that live, you know, Osceola, you know,
I know
Wilson,
about them.
Jonesboro. Yeah. They're going to come on, man. It's a little short, little jaunt for them. Now, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Razorbacks, I don't think they'll make the trip. It'll be the ones who live here or, you know, shortly –
because they've
outside
got
the area.
This is a chance for a look past. Who do they have next?
Notre Dame.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So perhaps a
but
chance.
But you know they
to
lost,
look past,
so
you.
I think that kind of hurts, right? Like they're locked in now. They have to win this game. So because otherwise you're going to lose three in a row.
Not buying trap.
I don't think
not
so.
You can't be a trap game when you're coming off a loss.
Right.
It's probably fundamentally true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. It is what it is. I mean, you didn't catch any breaks with this one. You caught a lot of breaks. Ryan Sutterfield's caught a lot of breaks. I mean, the backup quarterback for Troy is legitimately maybe the worst football player I've seen at the Division I level ever. I mean, he was so bad.
The crease.
He was throwing the ball at the receiver's feet while they weren't even turned around.
His linemen weren't picking him up. They didn't. It took me back to Snowden when my linemen stopped believing in me.
Right.
That's what it looked like. It's ugly.
Who was the guy that he came out and said he let his quarterback get sacked in the NFL, the Lions lineman? You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember.
Vaguely.
I don't remember his
name. Oh, it happens.
But I don't know if they were doing that, but, man, that offense was just so bad. And, you know, again, I don't know if Crowder would have led him to a much different result, but it would not have been. That bad. I mean, I guarantee you that Silverfield's not punting on 4th-and-1 from the Troy 40 if it's the starter in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Silverfield looked down the sideline. He said, "That's who we got coming out for them at quarterback, bro. We'll punt from our own 40 on first down. It don't matter. We can just lock the Troy offense into a gym, and they can't come out until they score a touchdown. They'll never come out. They'll be in that damn gym for a million years with that quarterback." So I think, you know, again, whether he was conservative, whether he was, you know, I would have loved to see, because it's like, this is your last tune-up, right? I would have loved to see more downfield shots. Like, I know it's against everything that you stand for in the game, but like, you know, this is a last free sort of shot to warm that up, man.
Or we could save it. Don't show me anything. Go vanilla like we have the last.
I mean, I just think they're
against
vanilla.
Some of these opponents.
I just think Memphis football is vanilla.
You don't think we're going vanilla. You think we are vanilla.
No, I think that's just the flavor.
When DeWosier's in there, you're kind of dynamic from the run game. And Sutton Smith.
Look, I mean, you're going to.
Level of competition lower, but it was 6.3 a carry. Like, dude, he is dynamic.
I don't think DeWosier's playing. Nothing suggests that he's playing. So we're going to have to figure that out, man.
The guy's day-to-day, and he's been out two and a half weeks.
I mean, we're all –
I'm hoping he's close.
We're all day-to-day. You're day-to-day. I'm day-to-day. You know, nothing is promised tomorrow. But I think we're getting the wool pulled over our eyes here on this injury.
We need him to win.
Yes.
So that's just where I'm at.
I agree.
But going to be tough.
I do love, I mean, Sutton Smith is like, I mean, he's talented.
He's having a fantastic season.
My issue is I don't know how much else talent there is on that offense. Like, who's the receiver talent?
Bram. He was four, and they have the familiarity. Oh, we'll need him to have a big game.
A huge game.
And expect him to. He had four receptions, 69 yards, no touchdowns. Brady got the touchdown.
Now, that was an amazing catch.
It was.
We haven't talked about that. That was an unbelievable
catch.
The other tight end, though, that man tried to catch the ball like it had baby oil on it, man. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? You're wide open out there on the sideline, and he's like rumbling, bumbling. So, like, that was embarrassing, man. I mean, there wasn't a defender within 20 yards of the – I don't even know his name. But I'm like, what they rub that football with, man? Some moisturizer?
Kramsey has not shown you everything yet. We're waiting until Arkansas when we have to keep up.
Look, you go in the Memphis football refrigerator, man. You pull out the ice cream. It's that's the flavor. It's vanilla, man. It just is. It's good enough. And we all love vanilla.
Is it good enough to win the AAC, which is the more important thing here?
I mean, I think if the defense is that – then yes, but the offense, if you're telling me the defense isn't actually as good as they looked and they're just going to be like an average unit, I don't believe so. I don't believe that, you know, I just don't come right. I mean, Memphis handled business. They did what they had to do in these three games, and they covered the number in all games. So I do think that does matter. But I just think that the opposition was so lowly. Georgia State couldn't beat Murray State by anything of substance. Troy, you had the backup quarterback. FCS don't care. You played lowly opponents, so you should be covering numbers against these teams. I mean, you're Memphis. You have big offensive linemen. You have money. You should do that. I don't come away thinking like, oh man, we were sure wrong about. I mean, if Memphis wasn't 3-0, it was going to be a problem, right? If they had lost to Troy or Georgia State, it was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I mean, they kind of have just performed at expectation. They haven't really done anything other than that. And I know people say, you just can't take wins for granted. The hell I can't. For Memphis football against those jabronis, yes I will.
Oh, we expected 3-0.
Yeah. So let's see how they look against Arkansas. Let's see, is it a game that they can take a first half lead in? Is it a game where, you know, they earn it till the end? God forbid they win. That, I think, will then shape how I feel about the rest of this. But, like, in terms of the first 3 weeks, the best thing I can say is that they did exactly what they needed to do, and they covered, and that's important to some.
And Ryan Silverfield's on lists.
And Ryan Silverfield's on lists. I mean, it's been a great start, but it's just a start, and now the real work begins for Memphis football. So
ABC, 11 a.m. kickoff.
ABC, it's Ole Miss twice, it's UCLA, and I can't remember the other one. Cerrito texted me. It's Houston.
There it is.
Houston. So Ole Miss twice, 2015, 2019.
These are the 11 a.m. ABC window wins for Memphis.
Houston, 2016.
Very specific criteria.
That's right.
But when they gave us ABC, they gave us the win.
They did. And I remember
distinctly. Because we knew 11.
Anthony Miller always killed in these games.
Now it's Cortez Brown.
I used to call him ABC Anthony Miller, bro, because that man would get on ABC and he would just go crazy, you know, against all, you know, Ole Miss and UCLA. I don't remember what he had against Houston. I'm assuming he had a good game, though.
We will be up for it. I think that D's got a chance to maybe really turn some heads.
I hope so, man. I will say.
It's built to.
Yeah.
We'll see if they're up to the task.
I mean,
that's an unbelievable offense over there for Arkansas.
It is.
It's one of the best offenses in the SEC. I will stick to that.
It is. And it's like, again, it's like it's Troy, right? So, I you know. But I will say I was really impressed with how they were flying around Memphis was. I mean, the only mistake they made in the second half was that penalty, that pass interference where the DB didn't look back. That was it. And that was the only positive pass play that Troy had in the second half all game. So, anyway, should be a fun one. We'll learn a lot. We'll finally learn a lot about Memphis this weekend against Arkansas. We'll come back. Lots more to come around the show. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Are you ready for some football? We got some Monday Night Football for you, a doubleheader. Texans-Bucks, C.J. Stroud taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. And, of course, 9 p.m., which I know we're not going to have you for. You know, you might be in La La Land by that time, or at least by half. I mean, that's a long night.
It is.
That game ain't going to end until what, midnight? I mean, it's a three-hour football game, right? So it may not be. It might be like, what, 11:30?
11-something.
Yeah. but which game intrigues you more?
You guys, I suppose. I'm not going to hate on you.
Okay. Hey, no hate.
I don't know, because it doesn't really feel like, and maybe we discuss it this way, there's anything the Bucs can do necessarily, and certainly not this week, if they're impressive against the Texans to move up in our NFC power rankings, right? I don't know. Is there a way where this is so one-sided we say, you know what, that Bucs team does look real? Mm-hmm. It's just like we don't consider anything out of the South, and they've been the thing the last couple of years. We just don't consider it contender. Is there anything the Bucs can do, I guess, to change that?
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it.
I don't think so.
I'm going to take you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think for C.J. Stroud and the Texans, I mean, this is a really, really important game.
Oh, I'd agree there.
You know, they need to show that they are – you know, I mean, the AFC South, you know, whether you believe in the Colts or not, you know, I guess that depends on the person. But, I mean, they need to put themselves in that mix. There's no doubt about it. You know, the Jags look very inconsistent. I don't like the vibes between Trevor Lawrence and the coach. That was very strange, waving the coach off. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Trevor likes the guy, to be honest, because I think Trevor is a – he kind of explained this. He's like, you know, I'm a straight, even-keel guy. And this coach is, like, always fiery. He's always, like, yelling, and I just don't think it's a great fit. We'll see. Trevor was bad yesterday, by the way. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of, you know, for an NFL football game, there's a lot of plays you can look at. But those interceptions, dude, that especially that one in the end zone where he just floated it up and it was just an easy air punt.
I don't understand why him not coming into sort of this space we all expected, especially at this point in his career, where he is franchise quarterback, and they should be, with him, the best thing mm-hmm. in the South.
No question.
But they haven't been. They haven't gone and grabbed that. He's got the fat contract. He is not living up to it. You can't have games like that.
No, you cannot.
So I don't understand why, you know, we spend so much time talking about pressure on these young guys to perform, especially the rookie contract guys like Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, we're still doing that with. But yet with Trevor Lawrence, we kind of let him off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like another one of those. There should be a ton of pressure on him to be consistent every week at this point in his career.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. I mean, I thought after they beat they didn't beat the Chiefs, but they won that playoff game against the Chargers, and then they were competitive with the Chiefs for the majority of the game there in Arrowhead. I thought that was the last year where we would get the Jags as underdogs, right? Like, you know, this is just going to be a rocket ship with Trevor Lawrence. And, dude, he has regressed.
So he had Urban, then he had Peterson, who we thought was good with quarterbacks beforehand.
And he did see a jump.
A little bit of a jump.
Yep.
And then now we're on to your Mr. Fiery.
Liam Cohen.
And so I'm questioning when do we start looking. Urban throw out. That was a hot mess. I mean, never should have been there.
Right.
But when do we start looking at Lawrence?
I do think that's a good point out, man, because, you know, there's times when Trevor Lawrence – man, he just makes some unbelievable plays. Like, he just drops back. He's 6'5". He's got a super strong arm, and he's decisive, and he looks like he could be a top five quarterback. And then there are plays where he drops back and he just throws up air arm punts.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, you know, why can't you put it all together consistently? And it's a good question because this will be coach number three.
Right.
And at some point, like, you just kind of are what you are. I don't know, you know, who you would even compare him to. You know, maybe there's a little Derek Carr in this guy. You know, Derek Carr would have games where he was just like, he looked like he was the best player on the field. And then there would be games where, you know, he just makes egregious interceptions, bad decisions.
He's also got the one playoff win over a guy that's sort of been like, you need to show us consistently, and Justin Herbert, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, that it kind of takes me to your game, but, you know, you've got Harbaugh now. You were impressive in the season opening win over the Chiefs. This feels like a year where maybe you can make that step up in the AFC West. We haven't seen the Chiefs 0-2. He's a guy there. You said who I would compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say in a lot of ways Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You know, it's been time
now
for
you're
him.
Right, he hasn't had this
we
success.
Feel better about it because of his coach.
Yeah.
And how they've looked to start the year. We'll feel even better about it if they handle you guys tonight, especially about their place in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that still has to do that too,
yes.
You know, in terms of what Lawrence has done. Do it consistently, do it for a whole year, and be a threat in the playoffs. All he's got is the playoff loss, right?
Yes.
Herbert.
Yes, he has the –
whereas even Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence got the playoff win over you.
Yeah, I think Herbert lost the Texans in the playoffs last year as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Two losses.
Yeah.
So he's got two on his career,
yeah.
Not just the one in Jacksonville, which was a comeback.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have obviously won that game, but
but this feels different for Chargers just because of how it's been put together
and
who's leading it.
Exactly. No, I mean, I feel like they are.
And he ain't new to this. He was impressive with the Niners. Like, Harbaugh's done this before.
Exactly.
So, and Herbert's certainly better than Cap was.
No, I definitely feel like that's going to happen.
He's got the right coach. We know that.
No doubt. I mean, you know, last year was a very close game, and it went the Texans' way. But it definitely feels like Herbert's arrow is pointing way up, and Trevor's is not. And so that's, you know, it's kind of interesting because I would have told you again two, three years ago that this dude was going to be a problem for the league every single year. And it just has not happened, has not come together. So, and again, CJ Stroud, like, kind of the same thing. Like, after that rookie year, you think this guy is just never going anywhere. And we can blame this, we can blame that. And I'm sure a lot of it is valid. Like, offensive line
last year.
Wide receiver injuries, things like that. It's like, you know what, man? Like, no excuses, bro. Like, you got to go out there and.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.